Again, glad you're here today, and that we can worship our second Sunday of the new year. And our message will be a continuation of the spiritual gifts, and the title today is Spiritual Gifts Are Present Today. Many in the past, when they're thinking about spiritual gifts and if they're still being used, they are. And that's why I want to emphasize today, because so many Christians, we who are saved, don't utilize our gifts in a way that we should. And the manifestation came through the Old Testament into the church age, the New Testament church age, and they were manifest from the old to the new and to the church. And Christ emphasized that before he ascended back to the Father. And there is a lot of scriptures, and I will not be sharing all of those today, but I want to share some of them. And then next Sunday, pertaining to spiritual gifts, and there are many, and the diverse how we are to use them. So last Sunday, our message was on spiritual gifts and the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's because of the work of the Holy Spirit that we are to exercise the gifts that we've been given. So we've learned that an individual is filled with the Spirit at the very moment of salvation. We don't have to wait to receive the Spirit of God. We receive the spiritual gifts upon salvation when we confess Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And then we learned that the phrase being filled with the Holy Spirit is a reference when the Spirit chooses to use a Christian to manifest the spiritual gifts in our lives for the glory of God. Whatever we do, you know, what we've done today, we do it for the glory of God. You know, we might not always do everything right. We might mess up a little bit, but everything that we do it for the glory of God, and He's going to bless it. We also learned that the purpose of the spiritual gifts is the benefit of all God's people serving in the church. And it is to edify the church and to bring others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is another part of the work of the Spirit and the spiritual gifts. So today, we want to look at a few passages, and up on the screen there you'll see a few of the spiritual gifts, and you might be able to pick one out that you actually have been given. And I think there's 22 listed there, but there are many spiritual gifts. And many people utilize their gifts without really knowing it. But when you find out that what your spiritual gift is, then I believe it is our responsibility to pray and seek God and utilize it to the best of our God-given ability. And so we'll also learn that these gifts are still around even today, and that they will not pass away. They will not cease to exist until Jesus returns for His kingdom, as the Bible says, He comes into the fullness of time. So let's move on. I'm just going to talk about this part today. The spiritual gifts have not ceased. not talk about the second part that's in the bulletin passages listing the spiritual gifts. I'll work on that next Sunday. But when we look at spiritual gifts, they have not ceased. First of all, I want to emphasize what 1 Corinthians 12:11 says. And this is what Paul said to the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was a church that Paul worked with, established. and you're working with the people as we today. You know, we all part of the family of God. We are part of Versailles Baptist Church. You know, we all utilize what God has given us, and that's what makes a church successful. And Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 12:11, that it is the Holy Spirit who bestows spiritual gifts on believers. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. It's, also in verse 11, also tells us the Spirit distributes the gifts to each one individually as he wills. So you might have three, you might have four spiritual gifts, you might only have one. But whatever God has given you, utilize that to the fullness. And God will bless your life for doing that. So, as I stated earlier, gifts are around even today. And a lot of people may not think so. They think that it ended when the church was established and the apostles and the disciples, you know, after their time here on earth. But they still exist today because God made sure that your church was given spiritual gifts. So there are five spiritual gifts that are primarily identified as sign gifts, such as tongues, interpretation of tongues, healing, miracles, and prophesying. And when I say sign gifts, these are the manifestation from the Old Testament, and these are special gifts given to prophets and the apostles and disciples back in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. But I want to emphasize that, now I understand that they can be a confusion about tongue healing and miracles and prophesying, but it might arise of the topic of tongues. But I believe in the existence of healing and miracles. That still exists, you know, because we pray for healing, right? And we see God working through prayers. So if anyone doesn't believe in healing and miracles, then we might as well just quit praying for the sick, right? And quit praying for breakthroughs in difficult life situations. But I firmly believe in the gifts of healing and miracles. You know, we go to the doctors to be treated. You know, we've all been to the doctor. We've been to the hospitals and so forth. They don't do the healing. They do the treating. God does the healing. And I'm thankful for our hospitals and doctors, physicians and so forth that we can go to when we have a physical condition and so forth. And we've been there and they treat. And God has gifted them to be able to treat us. So God works through our lives mysteriously, but he does it miraculously. Now, in James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, this is kind of an example I want to use in this particular on healing and miracles and gifts of that nature. Because James talks about it in chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, when he says in verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And in verse 15, and a prayer of faith. There is that prayer of faith. And that's very important. Having faith when we pray, knowing that God is going to answer our prayers. Not maybe as we think that he would, but the way that he wills it to be done. So, and pray, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So, When we think about what James is saying here, James said that the church elders are to pray over the sick. Now, in the Baptist church, we don't have elders. Let me clarify elder. Elder can mean bishop, pastor, and elder. Yeah, elder, bishop, pastor. Now, and then we have deacons, and deacons are servants too. So we have deacons who pray. Now, as far as I'm concerned, our deacons serve just alongside as an elder would, because our deacons pray. If there's a prayer need, if there's a need, our deacons pray. Our deacons pray for you, and they pray for you individually. I know I've seen our own deacons pray individually with different one, each one of you on different occasions. And that's what the Bible says that we are to do, that we are to pray for healing and for the sick, which probably involved in laying on of hands. And this action is often associated with the spiritual gifts of healing. So the gift of faith, now think about that, can also be seen in the statement of prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. You know, when we pray, we have faith that God's going to interact on our behalf or someone else's behalf. God promises to do that. Now, we don't always see everybody that we've ever prayed for to be healed from a terminal illness and so forth, but that's not left up to us as far as that, how people's lives will end up, but our responsibility is to pray, and God will intervene, and God works in mysterious ways for His purpose. As the Bible said, at His will, He distributes the gifts to each individual. Then, so James advocates using the spiritual gifts as healing and faith. And I want to point out when a person is raised up, James said that here in verse 15, from their sick bed, we might even want to call that a miracle, right? When they are healed. And we know of situations in our own community, in our own families, who have been raised up, been healed from terminal illnesses or certain illnesses that temporarily set you back. But, you know, God does provide miracles today. It might not just be in sickness, but God provides miracles in different forms and fashions, and that's why we are to pray in faith. Now, if you will, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 and 10. And this is what I call the love chapter. And Paul emphasizes about spiritual gifts. But his main theme right here is love never fails. I chose this particular passage of Scripture because Paul talks about, you know, prophecy and healing and the knowledge and things like that. It will one pass away, but let's read verse 8 first of all. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they will fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So now, what is Paul saying here? And this is what I consider a love chapter, but there's a lot of emphasis placed here on faith, hope, and love. So we observe here the mention of spiritual gifts such as prophecy, tongues, knowledge, and then in verse 8, Paul stated that these gifts will one day what he called fail, cease, or vanish away. Now, as of now, they exist, okay? One of these days, we won't need all of this when God comes back and establishes his kingdom. And that's what Paul was emphasizing. One of these days, the gifts that God has given us now, we're utilizing, and God is, and we're benefiting from all of those. One of these days, we won't need those things because we'll be in a perfect state. We'll be with the Lord. See, he also stated in verse 10 how that which is in part will be done away. And all of these gifts, the Holy Spirit will one day cease to be used. And there will be indeed come a time of ceasing. And Paul said that love would be the one thing that would last forever. Do you pick up on that? Love. All the gifts and all the prophesying, all the healing, all this stuff will one day vanish because we won't need it at some point in time when God's kingdom is established. But love never fails. Now you think about that. God's love has never failed us, right? He loves regardless. No matter how much we sin, how much we come short of his glory, he still loves us. While we were yet sinning and in our sin, he loved us. That's why love never fails. And that's why John 3:16 is such a wonderful verse to realize that for God so loved the world that he gave his life for the world. And that lets me know that God loves never fail. Now, gifts and everything we've been given, and we ought to utilize those while we are here on this earth. So, when Paul said that this time of ceasing would arrive, the answer is when that which is perfect has come. Think about that. When that perfect, I picked up on that in verse 10. You know, when everything ceases, it's because when that which is perfect has come. What is that perfect that is coming? His kingdom. It will be complete. It will be completely established when he comes back and when he establishes his reign here on earth. So this is a defining statement for those who hold a view of ceasing, which is perfect. That which is perfect. You think about that. I'll reflect on that. And it refers to the completion, apostatic period when people will no longer need signs. They will no longer need wonders from God. And he will validate their ministry. He will validate what he has done, has fulfilled, and his coming back again. And let's look at that again, that which is perfect. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, it says, Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, and the greater and more perfect. And there's that word perfect again. Tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. And that statement, when that which is perfect has come, in verse 10, is future tense. Future tense. It hasn't happened yet. It will happen. It's in the process of happening in our lives. But the emphasis here is, you know, what gifts God has given us. The Holy Spirit is very active in your life, my life, and we are to utilize and allow God and make ourselves available to him. Now, also, in Hebrews chapter 13:10, it says the good thing is to come. And this time of perfection will happen when Jesus comes and a greater and more perfect tabernacle. You know, we worship here in this sanctuary. You know, that's a perfect song to sing today, Nancy, the sanctuary. This is God's sanctuary. And we worship here in the sanctuary. It means a house of prayer. It's a place where God meets us. He meets us and we worship Him. He honors our worship. Now, let's look down a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians 13:12, where it says, "For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known." Paul spoke of a time when things were in part. In part, those things that one of these days we will understand and visualize, know when they all come together, when God's kingdom is fully established. You see, Paul was saying, "I will see Christ face to face, and then we will see in part what we now haven't been experiencing on the earthly side, but we will see from the heavenly side, because we will see Jesus face to face." He said, "I've only known a part of what has been going on in my life and how God has been working in my life and what the purpose of all of this is, and the spiritual gifts and things are about, and how the Holy Spirit works." He said, "Now I just see a part of that, but one of these days, when I see Jesus face to face, then we can all say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love." And seeing Jesus face to face and know that He is known, which refers to the return of Christ, and until He comes back again. So this means that the manifestations of the spiritual gifts can still occur in our lives. But we must be open to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives each day. So, in knowing all of this, I want to encourage each one of us, including myself, to be open to growing in the fullness and understanding to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, it can, I guess, over-consume you trying to think, okay, how in the world can I fulfill my responsibility as a Christian using my spiritual gifts? Well, that's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to help us, and we are to pray and seek God's will in everything that we do. In conclusion, you know, we have gained a basic understanding, just a basic understanding of the gifts along with the purpose, function. But to give a good definition, spiritual gifts are abilities, God-given abilities to each one of us by the Holy Spirit in order to equip God's people and the ministries He has called us to. You know, through all the years that Versailles Baptist Church has been established, you think back to the very beginning, the foundations of this church. And by the way, this is a year that the time capsule will be taken up out front. It was set in the ground in August of 2000, and it will be, we already opened it up in August of this year. So I don't know, many of you may know what's in it. I don't. I've talked to a few that does not know, but it will be interesting to know. And the vision that this church has had, and all the visions and the dreams that this church has carried out through all the members that's been faithful and worked and used their spiritual gifts in life. So it's the spiritual gifts and the Holy Spirit is both for edification of the church and for God's sacrificial mission to the world. You know, we have an awesome responsibility as Christians, and it all started when Christ said, go to Jerusalem, and you wait there until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And if we could just imagine the disciples and how they were overwhelmed and trying to understand their responsibility when Jesus said, you have a greater responsibility now that I'm going back to the Father. But I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and He will teach you all things that I have taught you. And you will be instructed from this point on by the Holy Spirit. You see, if Jesus hadn't went back to the Father, the Holy Spirit would not have come. And that's exactly what Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is real and alive today, still distributing, still edifying the gifts of the Spirit. And I want to, again, encourage every one of you this year to, if you still don't fully understand or know what your spiritual gift is, you know, read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and these scriptures I've given you. And it will help, and I do believe as we pray and have that prayer of faith, God will reveal to you personally what your gift is. And once you latch onto that and you pray, and God, use me, utilize my gift. Let me use this for your honor and glory. And your life will change tremendously. The church, this community, this world will change tremendously if Christians take serious their responsibility and their obligation to the yielding and surrendering of the Holy Spirit. See, we have no power apart from the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. And when we utilize the gifts that God has given us, you see great things happen. And that's why it's spiritual gifts and the work of the Holy Spirit and the purpose for our lives to be utilized in that fashion is so important for the church. And that's why Jesus established the church and called it this, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. See, He has given us that authority. He has leased that to us and every Christian that walks upon this earth. And we need to take that serious, don't we? We really do. I'm sincere as I can be, allowing God to do His great work in such a way that we will see great things happening in our own life individually and in the life of the church. Let us pray. Father, we praise Your holy name this morning. We thank You for the scriptures that teach us about Your gifts, the Holy Spirit. We all have Your Spirit within us, all who have claimed the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, it's always a peace of mind that Paul says a peace that surpasses understanding when we know that we belong to You. And You are willing to work in our lives and to show us, you know, Your manifestations of how You will see things through. Everything that will be fulfilled, especially when You come back again. But until then, I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us will seek Your will. This is a new year. This is just the beginning of a new year. We still have months to go before we see this year end. But Lord, may we take each day one step at a time to utilize what you have given us. And may we need to renew our relationship with you. We know that we're saved. Maybe it's a time just to do a reflection and reflect upon our relationship with you and start out fresh and anew this year. Whatever the decisions are this day, Lord, we pray that your Spirit, we will know it is you speaking and it's you that's going to change our life. As the scripture today, if we be in Christ, we are a new creation. Old things have passed and new things have come. That's what happens when we accept you as our personal Savior. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally, Lord, today will be a perfect, perfect day to accept your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Stand, everything, if it's okay. I'm going to stay up here today.